I want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ as a teacher. Now, Jesus Christ came from the noonday of heaven to the midnight of earth to die on a cross to save sinners. That's what he came for. He kept saying, "My hour's not yet come, mine hour's not yet come, mine hour's not yet come." And when he got to the cross, he said, "For this hour came I into the world." He came to die. That's why I came. Everything else was incidental like that. For instance, I go to a town to hold a revival meeting. That's my purpose. Well, I meet friends. I go out to meals sometime, mix and mingle, but that's not why I'm in town. Jesus Christ didn't come to this world to perform a miracle. He came to die. He performed miracles on his way, but that was incidental to what he came for. He kept saying, "Mine hour's not yet come, mine hour's not yet come, mine hour's not yet come." And when he got to the cross, he said, "For this hour came I into the world." Now let's get down to the real fundamentals of the thing. You know, these modernistic scholars, they talk about Jesus as a teacher. That's what I'm going to talk about in just a minute. They talk about him as a teacher. They talk about him as an example. But they hide the blood of Christ and turn their back on the cross and say Jesus Christ was a martyr. I'm hoping sometime during the year I can speak to you once or twice on the vicarious atonement that Christ made on the cross. But today, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ as a teacher. Jesus Christ was the greatest master of assemblies the world ever saw. I've had some experience in that line. I was licensed to preach since I was 13 years old. Now you do your own figuring. I'm 82, will be in a few days, a few weeks. 82 years old. Started preaching when I was 13. 13 off 82, well, that don't leaves about 69, doesn't it? That's how long I've been preaching. I think I know something about that. I've studied the ministry. I've studied preachers. I've studied my own mistakes. As I've grown older, I see where I've made some, too. You'll find out you're making some of them when you get older. But Jesus Christ, measured by the high standards of pedagogy the world ever knew, was the greatest teacher the world ever saw. Now, a great teacher always teaches what he knows. A great teacher teaches his major. That's what Jesus did. He came to this world to teach, not to teach, incidental to what he came to do for. He came to die. All right? Simplicity is truth's most becoming God. The profoundest statements ever uttered were uttered by the Son of God, and every statement was clothed with simplicity. All right. Greatest teacher. Greatest master of assemblies. I've had some experience in handling crowds. You know, there's something about great crowds where you speak as we had in those old evangelistic days, 10,000 people packed in a big tabernacle standing around the wall at the height of evangelism in America. And you'd have to hold the attention, and it took a dynamic grip. It wasn't easy. But Jesus Christ didn't seem to have much trouble. Out in a desert place, he looked out the crowd, and they said, "They're hungry. You better send them home." He said, "Let's feed them before they go. Let's don't send them away hungry." Nobody ever goes away from Jesus Christ needing anything that he couldn't supply. "My God shall supply all your needs according to riches, glory in Christ Jesus." You can get your need. He never promised to give you all you wanted. But he said he'd give you all you need, and they'll never, if you're a consecrated Christian, you'll get everything you need in this world. That's the promise of God. You may need to go hungry. You may need to be sick. Maybe to suffer. But you'll get your needs, and if you're the right kind of a consecrated Christian, that's what you want. So Jesus Christ came now. Listen, I'm going to talk to you about him now personally. Now measured by the high standards of pedagogy, the greatest teacher the world ever knew. Now, he was the greatest master of assemblies the world ever knew. I've had some experience handling crowds. Crowds are selfish. I've seen them come in, 10,000 people crowding in a building, looking for the best seats and shoving folks out of the way to come in to hear the gospel. Yeah, people are naturally selfish. Jesus dealt with that kind of crowd. They followed him around to get something to eat. They were just selfish. They said, "He'll feed us. We'll get something to eat. Let's go hear him." See? And he said, "You come forth after loaves and fishes." All right, maybe he'd crowd the baby in his arms so he'd get the baby and hug the baby a little. And maybe touch some blind eyes in the family and make them see. Great crowd thronged him until he talked about his kingdom not being of this world. And then they began to spit in his face and put him on a cross. But let's notice him as a teacher. Listen, a great teacher knows his subject. Now, wait a minute. You teach a major. You wouldn't want a man to teach science if he hadn't had training in it. You wouldn't want to teach literature unless you had training. A teacher is supposed to teach his major. Jesus Christ knew about God. He knew about creation. All things were made by him, and by him all things hold together. He knew all the laws of gravity and everything else. Yeah, he made everything. He said, I've told you world things you don't believe. How do you believe me if I don't talk to you about heavenly? You don't know anything about it. He's the greatest teacher the world ever saw. He never said, I think. He never said, this may be so. He never said, now we friends, we may reasonably conclude that this is possibly true. He didn't say, if you don't repent, as it were, and be converted to some extent, you might accidentally go to hell to a little degree. No, sir. It's repent or perish. He clothed his thoughts in simple garments. You know, truth can go naked. Somebody said truth and error went in washing out in the country creek. And error came out and put on truth's clothes. And truth had to go home naked. Error couldn't go home naked. Truth can go anywhere without dressing up. Twice two's four. Not any poetry in that. It's a fact. Truth. All right. Jesus Christ was the greatest master of assemblies the world ever saw. Jesus Christ performed miracles, did wonderful things that other people didn't do. But he was the greatest teacher the world ever saw. Now listen, boys and girls, I want you to get this today. Listen, a great teacher knows his subject. We insist in Bob Jones University, as they do in all reputable schools, that a teacher teach his major. You don't teach mathematics if your major was literature. You don't teach literature if your major was mathematics. Teach his major. Jesus taught his major. He said, I got a message for you. This I say to you. He never once said, I think, or we may reasonably conclude, or we may possibly accept this position. Never said that. He just said, I say and say. You know, truth doesn't have to go naked. Truth doesn't have to put on clothes. Truth is truth. Yeah. Somebody said truth and error went in washing, and error came out and put on truth's clothes. The truth had to go naked all the time. You don't have to dress up truth. You can put a poetic robe on truth, but truth doesn't have to dress up. Twice two's four. You can't make poetry out of it, but that's truth. Jesus Christ spoke in simplicity. Simplicity is truth's most becoming garb. When you get too poetic, if you don't mind, you'll overdress truth or put the wrong garment on truth. Twice two's four. Try to make something else out of that if you can. You can't make anything else out of it because that's a law established in the universe by God Almighty. Now, Jesus Christ was always simple. He came out and said, this I say unto you. He never said, I think. He never said, this may be so, or we may reasonably conclude. Nothing like that. He waves were tossed by lashing wind, and he said, wind ceased blowing. Water, be still. And the waves went to sleep on the bosom of a lake like a baby goes to sleep in a mother's arms. What did he say? Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. He didn't preach a sermon to them. He said, come get it if you want it. What a person. What a person. But wait a minute. He came to die on a cross. That's what he came for. He kept saying, my hour's not yet come, my hour's not yet come, my hour's not yet come. And when he stood in the shadow of the cross, said, this is it, for this hour came I into the world. He planted a tree out of which a cross was made. He sent the rain to water it. He let the green leaves grow on the tree. I think he went through the forest and said, that would make a nice cross, wouldn't it? Son of God. Say how simple he was. Come in town riding a donkey. King of kings, Lord of lords. How did he speak? As never a man spake before. What an authoritative note in his voice. He said, wind, cease blowing. Water, be still. And the wind folded its wings, quit flying. Water laid its head on the bosom of the lake and took a nap, and the lay ceased. Yeah, what a person. But wait a minute, when you're talking about his works, don't you forget something. And I want to drive it home today if I can. I'll have 15 minutes here to do it. A great teacher. He never said, I think. He never said, this may be so, or we may reasonably conclude. He just said it. The profoundest philosophical statement ever uttered is the 8th verse of the 5th chapter of Matthew. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why, you could preach on that for a month. Do you know you look at life through the heart you have? If you have the heart of a thief, you have eyes that look for a chance to steal. If you have a heart that deceives, you look for a chance to see. Son, give me thy heart. If God doesn't get your heart, he'll never comb the kinks out of your head. Simplicity. Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, preached to the crowds, performed miracles. But you know, he organized a little school, too. I won't talk to you about that hurriedly for about 10 minutes. The Son of God, the greatest teacher the world ever saw, measured by the high standard of pedagogy, he knew his subject. He never said, I think, he just said it. A great teacher knows his pupil. Yeah. Great teacher lives what he teaches. He looked out over the crowd and said, who convicts me of sin? Find something wrong with me. They said, brought him to court and said, I don't find any fault in you. What's the matter with all of you? They weren't against Jesus because he was bad. They were against him because he was good and they were bad. What a tragedy. Listen, what a spectacle of human depravity. A wicked, sinful world of religion and society and politics and business spitting in his face because they were bad and he was good. Tried him in court and said, there's nothing wrong with him. We find no fault with him. Put him on a cross. He's given us too much trouble. He's got us all stirred up. Get rid of him. Jesus, the teacher. Listen, a great teacher teaches his major. Jesus knew his subject. He knew what he's talking about. Yeah, just spake. And he said, never. Did you ever hear a teacher talk like that? Why, he talked to the dead and they'd get up. He'd speak to waves and were lashing and tell them, get quiet. And they'd fold up and go to sleep on the bosom of a lake like a baby sleeps in the bosom of a mother. Such a teacher. Who was he? Say, talk about having trouble believing in the deity of Jesus Christ. That's the easiest thing I ever did, was to believe in his deity. If he wasn't God manifest in the flesh, why hadn't there been another one on the highway of time? Who else ever calmed the waves? Whoever else touched a bier and the dead jumped up to see him? Who else but Jesus Christ ever walked out to a grave and said, Lazarus, come out of that grave? Lazarus shook the dust off his shroud and came up through the dirt. What a person. What kind of teacher was he? Never a teacher like him. A great teacher knows his subject. Jesus never said, I think. Or, ladies and gentlemen, we may reasonably conclude that this is a fact. He never talked like that. He just talked. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Such simplicity. Truth, listen, boys and girls, truth can go naked in any society in the world. But you have to dress up a lie. Somebody said truth and error went in washing in the country creek. And error came out naked and put on truth's clothes. And ever since that day, truth has gone around naked. You don't have to dress up a truth. It can stand and face the world. You have to dress up a lie and make it look like a truth before it'll have any effect on anybody. Jesus Christ was the greatest master of assembly the world ever knew. Nobody could handle a crowd like he could. Out there in the desert place, they were all hungry. Somebody said, say, preacher, you just passed me time. Have you got your watch? It's getting late. I've had him say that to me a lot of times. Don't you think we better close a little early today? These folks have such a long way to go. Well, Jesus said, let's feed them before they go. He fed the crowd bread and fish. What a person. He spake and waves would go to sleep. He'd take babies in his arms, and I'll venture never a baby ever cried in his bosom. He had a touch that was sweeter than the touch of any mother's hand. What a person. Who was he? He spoke as never man spoke. He lived as ever man lived. Listen, under the microscopic scrutiny of a wicked court, a court that was doing its best to find something, and a pagan judge said, I find no fault in him. Yeah. What a person. Could speak anywhere to anything, and the thing he is speaking to would take airs like a wave and say, did you understand him? Let's go to sleep. Hallelujah. He's my Savior. Christ all in all, Master and Lord, Son of God, God incarnated, up in heaven fixing me up a room. What a Savior. If you don't know him, you ought to get acquainted with him. You never met anybody like him. Nobody ever spake as he spake. Nobody ever lived as he lived. Nobody ever did what he did. How could he do it? He was God clothed in human form. What a Savior. He is able to save unto the uttermost all who come to God by him. And he's able to succor those that come. Great teacher knows his subject. Great teacher knows his pupil. Jesus said, I know what's in you. He ought to. He was God. He made man. A great teacher lives what he teaches. Say, wait a minute. Under the microscopic scrutiny of an intellectual age, an age of paganism and wickedness, under the microscopic scrutiny of a court that wanted to find something wrong with him, had to say, though wicked the court might have been, I find no fault in him. He was the one flawless character of history. He lived what he preached. Nobody ever spake like he spake. Nobody ever lived like he lived. Nobody ever boasted like he did in a way. The most boastful statement that ever anybody made, if a man had made it, just a man, you'd have said he was crazy. He walked out on the stage and looked out and said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Come on and kill me if you can. What has done to Jesus Christ would have killed anybody else before he bowed his head and said, it's finished. They spat in his face, crown of thorns on his brow, beaten into a pulp. Oh, matchless Son of God. He said, you don't take my life from me. When I get ready, I'll lay it down. You are murderers. You wouldn't kill me if you could, but you can't. I'm the source of all life. And he hung there on the cross, and after a while, he said, it's finished. I lay my life down now. You didn't take it. They were murderers, though. What you would do, if you could do, you've done in the sight of God. Listen. What you would do, if you make an honest effort to do, in the sight of God, you've done it. They were murderers. If you would kill a man said to me one time, said, I'm a murderer. Hunted a man all day to kill him, but I never could find him. I didn't kill him. I got to think about it the next day and decided not to do it. He's a murderer. Yeah, oh, miserable sinners we are. The thing you would do if you could do in the sight of God, you've done it. Yeah. You don't have to put sin in action to make it sin. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. Yeah. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's the Son of God now. Have to hurry. Greatest teacher the world ever saw. Greatest master of assemblies the world ever saw. Jesus could have gone to Jerusalem and built a school, matriculated 12,000 students, got all the money he wanted from Rome to build it if he'd have sold out. But he built a little school, just had 12 boys in it. Only dining room he had. Where'd he get it? Fish hatch on it on the seashore. Only library he had was the Old Testament, the flowers in the field, the birds there, and the stars pinning back the curtains of night. What a savior. I never look up at the stars that they make me think of dewdrops on the lawn out in front of the house where Jesus lives. What a savior. Yeah. School ran 3 years, the end of 3 years. He was on the cross naked, didn't have on any clothes. School had no endowment. Down there's a man mocking him, spitting on him. The only robe he had on was the sins of men. He was bearing his body, and the blood he was shedding as it ran down his body. You know why he hung naked? He wanted you to have a dress to wear in heaven sometime. And if you ever get to heaven, you'll have to wear a dress of righteousness, his righteousness. All our righteousness is filthy rags. It's his righteousness. You'll have to put on that robe, his righteousness, so you can't go to his party. You'll never sit down at a table in heaven. The marriage of the Lamb. With your dirty garment on of self-righteousness, you'll have to have on his. I can go on here all day. I haven't got to the subject yet. Maybe I can some other time. I don't know whether I'll be in the mood or not. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes just a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't look around. Now I want to ask you something. How many of you folks, with your head bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Dr. Bob, I know I've been converted. I know I'm saved. And as far as I know, there's nothing between Jesus and me today. Now, be honest now. Let's don't cover up. Maybe your heart's grown cold. Maybe your back's slipping a little. How many can say, well, I trust him as my Savior. I believe I'm saved. And as far as I know, now, be honest, oh, heaven's sake, be honest. As far as I know, there's nothing between Jesus and me, as far as I know. I've searched my heart now. I don't know anything in my heart that stands between me and Jesus, any sin in my life. If you do know, you ought not to keep it. How many say, well, thank God, I know I'm saved. Not me as good as I ought to be. But I don't know anything between Jesus and me. If you can say that honestly, put your hand up. Don't put up unless you can say it honestly. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed now. Don't open your eyes and don't look around. Don't take your hand down. Now you with your hand up, stand up. Rest of you keep your seat. Now don't stand if your hand wasn't up. Now keep your head bowed just a minute. All right. Now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'd like to say to the faculty, I believe that this is the best response that I ever had this early in the history of Bob Jones University in years. I've made similar tests here through the years. I believe, Marvin, I believe it's the best stand. I believe it's the largest percentage stood, and they stood on a mighty straight invitation. If it weren't right. Is anybody in this house seated can say, well, I have been converted, but I've been out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, and I want to get back in fellowship with him? You stand up right where you are. Anybody? Can't see you. Stand up if you can see it. Anywhere in the house. Anybody stood up near you, now you watch them and you can talk to them at the close of chapel. Is anybody in this house this morning can say, well, I can't say I've ever been converted. I can't say I've ever been converted, but I wish I could, and I'd like to be remembered in prayer. You just quietly stand where you are. Anybody where? Now you can see them if they stand. I can't see them from this distance, but you can. Now you know to whom to talk. Now, Heavenly Father, we believe that this is the best showing we've ever had this time in the history of any year of the school. We believe these folks are honest. We don't believe these boys and girls would stand up here and lie about something, especially as solemn as this. But Lord, help us look in our hearts, and if there's anything between us and Jesus, help us get rid of it. Any little thing. Maybe this world has, the wind of the world has blown a cinder in our eye and sort of blurred our vision. Help us to get out, Jesus. We need operation. You operate on us. And may this year be the most triumphant and victorious and glorious year in the history of the school. Help these boys and girls get down to business, get their lessons. Lord, help them. Don't go talking pious around here. Lord, don't let them go talking pious if they're too lazy to study. Don't let them go around here and say, oh, I love Jesus, and then spend their daddy's money. Come here and not study like a Christian ought to study. Pour out the Spirit of God upon us and make us faithful and give us strength and wisdom and guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.